We're going to begin our study this morning with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. I hope that if you have the possibility of following along in the scripture that you'll do so. I want people to see what the Bible says. It has never been enough to know what the preacher says or what the church teaches. My friend, you need to know what the Bible says. For regardless of how good a man may be, he can make a mistake. Regardless of how sincere a person may be, unless you see what the Bible says, sincerity is no substitute for the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So if you can, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. He says in verse 19, and I'll read it as an intro into 20, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Now, by reading those two verses together, you get kind of the flow, and it continues into verse 22 as well. He said to the Jews, "I became as a Jew. I preached the way I preached so that they understood, hey, he understands where we're coming from." He said, "I became as a Jew." He didn't say, "I became a Jew." "I became as a Jew." What he's doing, you see, by his birth, he is Jewish. That's a given. Saul of Tarsus is Jew. But what he's saying here is not, okay, I'm a Jew pretending not to be a Jew who is not pretending to be a Jew. No. "To the Jews, I spoke in a manner that they would identify with, that they could understand that I knew where they were coming from. I used illustrations that made sense to them. I could use the Old Testament law. I could use the Old Testament scripture in such a way as to make them. I became as a Jew." Why? To win the Jews, to gain the Jews. Now let me throw something out here. It is not that this is anti-Semitic, but rather, you see, God chose the children of Abraham. He chose the Jews as his own chosen people, and to them were given the oracles of God. The Old Testament, that first testament, was given to them. It was, however, replaced by a New Testament, also to God's chosen people. But in the second, in this New Testament, there was a provision made, there were provisions made for the non-Jew to have a relationship with God. Not just the covenant relationship that the Old Testament Jew had enjoyed, but rather in this New Testament, the ability to have a personal relationship with God. Not just a nationalistic one, but a personal relationship with God. And this was something that was available to Jew and Gentile, a New Testament. "To them under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law." Now, these, of course, would be Gentiles, folks who were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. "To them that are without law, as without law." Now, he says in parentheses, now if you don't have a copy of the scripture, I'm explaining this to you so that you understand why he's saying what he's saying. "To them that are without law, as without law," parenthesis, parenthetical statement, "being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ," that's set off in parentheses. It is an aside statement. You don't have to have it in order for the rest of the sentence to make sense. But at the same time, it fills it in here. He's not being as without law, in the sense of being, a ruffian, being a criminal of some sort, that he might win those. Now, I want to make this clarification. He's becoming all things to all men, that he might by all means win some, that he might win the more. This does not mean that he is participating in the sin. I must say, he wants to win people who go to the bar. This does not mean that he becomes an alcoholic or drinks socially in order to win people who do drink. He's not going that direction. He says, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. He is not participating in the sins of others so that he can say, see, I know what it is. I've done it too. Now, there are many things that we have been partakers of, participants in. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, it begins and includes all of us in the same boat. Let me see if I turn over there just quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, and you, verse 1, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, we conducted ourselves, our manner of living, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There was no difference. Christians are not saying, we're just better than everybody else. Not at all. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Because we're all in the same boat, we have an obligation, a moral obligation, that if the gospel was given to us, we need to pass it on. We need to extend that same good news to others. He says, to those that are without the law, I became as one without law. I was able to converse with them in a way they understood. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, if you're going to talk to a teenager, like, man, you got to get down with them, and so they, you know, so they can comprehend. I don't know the jargon. I don't need to know the slang to be able to reach them. I don't have to go out on the dance floor and make a fool of myself. I don't have to see how much I can drink on a binge in order to prove to young people, hey, he's okay, he's on the level, he's one of us. I'm not one of them. I'm 53 years old. I was a teenager. I survived it. And so can they. I survived it without all the scars that a lot of people have. A lot of bad memories. I don't carry them. I don't have them. Why? Because I gave my heart to Christ when I was young. And my friend, I know because I've seen the turmoil. I've seen the stress. I've seen the heartache. I've seen the broken hearts. People who flounder around doing the best they know how with no one to tell them. Or somebody who does know to talk down at them, to be condescending to them, treat them like, well, you poor ignorant fool. I'll take the time for my busy schedule to just impress with you how much better off I am than you are. There are people who do that, and I find that it is inexcusable. Now watch. He says, to them that are without law, as without law, and I'll drop out the parenthetical statement, that I might gain them that are without law. What does that mean, to gain them? That I might bring them to Christ. It is not enough to say, oh, I'm like you. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I used to be like that. I used to do those things. I used to be stupid. But Jesus came. I met the Lord, and he changed my life, and he can do that for you. He can give you peace. It'll let you go to sleep at night and not be scared to death whether or not you're going to wake up or be dead in the morning. I give you peace that passes understanding. He can give you an independence that makes you freestanding circumstance, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak. He didn't say I became weak. I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Give you an example. I have a man in my church who's a deacon. I met this man through a gun trade. Now, some people get some really squirrely ideas about what is. Like target shooting. I like to hunt. I don't necessarily like to kill. If I kill something, it'll be because I'm going to eat it, not because I want to say, look at what I killed. But I have a fascination with firearms. And, I suppose broadcast program. He had a gun for sale, so I called and I made the acquaintance. His wife said, well, we needed the money, but I suppose if you got something to trade, he'll probably trade with you. So I got directions and I went. I met them. During the course of the whole thing, I told him the picture and he looked at me like I had leprosy, but that was all right. But later on, I was able to follow up on that. And because I was able to talk with him reasonably and intelligently about guns, rifles, handguns, whatever, and I wasn't, I'm a preacher, I'm dumber than dirt, and what end of the gun do I put against my shoulder? Where's the bullet come out? Is that the whole thing there? Because I could talk to him intelligently about something he cared very much about, I had an open door to go back. Later on, there was a situation on the road. The lady at the house called and said, we need to talk to you. We need to talk to somebody. Would you come? Well, I was the only preacher the man would let in the house. I was the only one that ever talked to him that he had any respect for. All things, even trading guns, can be an opportunity. Anything you put your hand to ought to be with the idea in mind, can I use this for Christ? Can I use this to get an opportunity to get the gospel to somebody? Whether it's photography or recording or music or hunting or fishing or boating, it doesn't make any difference. Mechanics, construction, anything can be used as an avenue to get the gospel to somebody else. And this I do for the gospel's sake, he says in verse 23, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now the implication is here that they're going to be doing the same thing. And he wants them to know that they're on the same team. It is a team effort. Everyone has the same obligation, my friend, to carry the gospel. I have it. Oh, that's because you're a preacher. No, I haven't because I'm a Christian. You have it too if you are a Christian. We have an obligation to tell others and to make it free to them, that they might hear the gospel, that they might have an opportunity to respond to it and give their heart to Christ and be born again. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. I have to leave you with that. Hope you'll think about it. And join me on the next broadcast as we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll finish it up next time, I hope. We'll see you then.